You're good to go.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gail, and I am a cross-addicted compulsive overeater. And cross-addicted means that I'm in more than one program, and I'm now able to say that I'm grateful for that because I need more than one program, so I'm grateful they exist. OA was the first 12-step program that I came into. Recently, at one of my OA meetings, which is actually held in a clubhouse where there are lots of different meetings, I saw a sign for Self-Harmers Anonymous. And I thought, wow, I hadn't, you know, first of all, there's another one. There's another 12-step group I hadn't heard of before. I understand, like, there's like 30 of them or so. And my very first thought was, after that, was, oh, wow, that sounds hard. You know, that must be for people who, like, cut themselves and harm themselves. Wow, that sounds really hard. Wow, that's tragic. And some of you are smiling already because, you know, my topic today is body trauma. And, you know, that is how I came to see the self-harmers sign there, as I had my various revelations in a short period of time, was that yes, aren't all of these 12-step programs Self-Harmers Anonymous? Because I have come to believe, as we say in the second step, that my disease of compulsive overeating truly is that three-legged stool, that it's, besides being a physical problem, you know, I have a spiritual hole. And I have some emotional issues. I don't have character defects per se, but I will admit to a few emotional issues. I came from of an only child of a very high functioning alcoholic dad, a military guy, and his codependent wife, and those three traits of his, and domineering and lots of stuff like that, as you can imagine, military, were basically the principles of how I was raised as a child. And I was the only one, so they both got to just, you know, focus on me. The way that I was raised was that very punitive, critical, what's wrong here kind of. And then, of course, if anyone is familiar with alcoholic behavior, addict behavior, there's also a lack of nurturing and love and, you know, very narcissistic kind of thing. So I really was abused in all the ways. I was verbally abused, you know. And this was for my own good, you know, of course, to be told exactly what was wrong with me every time that we were, you know, getting dressed, look in the mirror, here's what's wrong, you know, with your dress is off, your belt is wrong, blah, 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 blah. At the same time, my dad was physically abusive. He was a big guy. He was a boxer. Did I forget to add that part? So he's very physically accommodating. He was sexually abusive. And all of those things, again, kind of abuse, criticism, punishment as a way of life, and the real critical and physical abuse to my body led me, that's how I grew up, that was my way of life, was, you know, to be emotionally defensive and cut off, because I'm sure you all were out to harm me, that's all I knew, to be physically guarded, and spiritually, I did have a higher power. I have to say, I'm just one of those people who just, for me, was born knowing that there's power outside of myself. And maybe that comes from the fact that there were such grown powers greater than me. I just knew that there was things bigger than me, that came really easily. But to survive that kind of childhood, where, again, it was all the abuses were going on, I found it most helpful to leave my body. I didn't know that's what I was doing. You know, it took years to come back and figure this out. But I found various ways. I would, you know, try to be outside and out of the house as much as possible to not have to be around these two. And I figured that was the other thing about the higher power that I knew growing up in the Catholic Church, was that I was supposed to, you know, love my parents, but I didn't. I actually actively hated them, and I told God at about 6 years old at the end of the driveway, you know, I know I'm going to hell because I don't love these people at all, and that'll be my cross to bear. And with that, I kept that attitude up too. Anything that happened was my cross to bear, you know. I had to protect myself and no one else around to help me. I had already, you know, gone against higher power, and so by hating my parents, and so I had to figure it out how I was going to survive. And literally during the physical beatings and during the emotional tirades, the yelling and all the stuff that went on with that, I don't know if folks have had the experience or the knowledge that it's very unusual in a abusive home for there not to be a lot of other dysfunction. You may may have come to figure that out intellectually. So there was not a lot of nurturing and care, like I said, but when my dad or my mom was raging, part of my passive-aggressive move, come to find out later, was to just not be there and not care. I didn't want to listen to the words they were saying. Any kind of show of emotion was going to get me in trouble. That's the other thing I learned. The best thing to do was to tamp down any kind of emotion, because between the two of them, they would manipulate them. And my emotion was always wrong, apparently. You know, I cried too much. I had no right to be upset about this, that, and the other. You know, I'd literally get beat for having the wrong emotion, physically beaten. So after learning to dissociate and just kind of leave and not cry when they hit me, which was that when I got into high school, I found that there were other helpful ways of not being emotionally present, which were drugs I discovered at a very early age, and that they were very helpful, had a lot of fun with that. until they weren't, you know. And there were a lot of repercussions after years and years. And unfortunately, I say now, I was a very high-functioning drug addict the way that my dad was a high-functioning alcoholic. So I kept getting off and not arrested when I should have. You know, I didn't get the consequences of my drug behavior. I really didn't, what I deserved. So that allowed me to keep going on, keep through college, getting a job. But, you know, things were starting to get tougher, though. as my come to find out, as habits do, they progress, got harder and harder, and that was harder to keep up in a professional world, especially one that was going to start to involve drug checks and that, you know, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't easy. It took years, but I kind of white knuckled quitting cocaine and marijuana and cigarettes. I didn't use alcohol abusively because that was bad. That would be like my dad. But come to find out, because again, I haven't hit any 12-step yet, I will just pick up another addiction, which was compulsive overeating, but since I didn't have my other ones to lean on. I did not know how I didn't even know at that point my full history. I always thought that I hated my parents because of the physical, emotional, verbal abuse that they had continued to engage in. That was the only way these people know to relate. and jokes, you know, what's wrong with you? It was just a joke. Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, a young malleable child who's not getting the other side of the joke, is not getting the affirmative statements, it's just all very hurtful. But yet, I also learned how to joke really well. it's called passive aggression. Come to find out, when I came into these rooms into OA and heard that my problem wasn't just that I ate too much, but that I had, I was promised, you know, this emotional and spiritual recovery. And it's like, what's that crap? I don't even need that. I already have a higher power, first of all, so next. You know, and emotional, you know, again, I don't have any character defects, you know, maybe a couple issues. So I didn't even know what I needed when I got here. It has taken lots of time and lots of time through the steps and various program to come to the level of understanding that I really embrace now of this three-legged stool, and that I had am harmed in all of those areas, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And with the overeating, it was almost intentional. Well, was intentional in that I had always tried to find ways to control my emotions, as I explained earlier, is a very unhealthy thing to exhibit in my household. And I had learned the bravado of social skill, but I never learned intimacy, real emotional intimacy, because we didn't have that in my family. And certainly my higher power, again, I had failed my higher power, so that connection was broken. You know, it was just that was the end of that. You know, I wasn't born addicted to drugs or obese, so again, my cross to bear. So I thought, well, this food thing, you know, I can, it tastes good, first of all. It's okay to overeat it because I am having trouble being in my first emotional, big time live-in adult relationship, being faithful, being monogamous. And so what will help with that is to go ahead and allow myself to become overweight, because I can control that. I can turn that off anytime I want, right? I'll be able to just go back. But for right now, while I learn how to be monogamous, I'll go ahead and use the weight to be less attractive to others. Let me back up, because one of the things that I lost with the drugs was this relationship. About 6 years in, I apparently was just doing too much to myself. And my sweetheart said, I love you too much to watch you do this to yourself. It's not that I don't love you, but I see all of the harm that you're causing yourself and your job, and you know, the consequences of my drugging behavior were just too high for someone who loved me to watch. And that's actually what got me on the road to, okay, I'm going to quit this crap. And I'll overeat, because that'll be okay. Not consciously in terms of switching from one to the other, but it all fell in really nicely and fell in together. But I wanted to point that out because that was the first time someone approached me in a loving fashion and said that it's because I love you, because I have more love for you than you do for yourself, that, you know, I'm doing this. And that really stuck with me, because what I had learned to do was to manipulate myself and others, to manipulate my body and others, to try to control what I thought I needed, what I thought I wanted. And manipulate my emotions, like I said. So the food was really good at stuffing anger, literally. I don't rage out because that would make me like my parents. So the quieter I get, the angrier I get. The angrier I am. And if I'm feeling lonely, I can entertain myself, a little, you know, fun food. And like I said before, I can change my size. But that was really a lot of emotional harm I was doing to myself. I wasn't allowing myself to grow and learn how to be emotionally intimate. And in the meantime, obviously, for someone who became morbidly obese, I was harming my body. And not just long term, in terms of the other medical problems that I developed because of it, because of my weight, but in the short term, I'm the type who will eat to the point of literally, like, my stomach hurts. I am so full. And that hurts, but that's okay, you know. I've learned over time to live with pain, you know. It's my cross to bear. I'll just carry this weight, you know. And that's the spiritual harm that, you know, my acting out, my not being connected to a higher power caused me. And that lack of love of self caused me to be what I, some of you have heard me say, my own abuser. You know, I became the abuser of my spirit, my emotion, and my body. And I didn't learn trust until I came into these rooms, got a sponsor. You all said, trust the process. That's not going to happen. You know? But I'll get a sponsor if that's what's supposed to happen. Because I hadn't had that type of relationship before. The steps, I figured there had to be some hammer, some punitive part. That must have been what that fourth step was about, because I didn't understand what they were talking about, a moral inventory. Oh, well, we'll give you some promises. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't believe that. That's some carrot at the end of the stick, pardon the food reference. That's not really gonna happen. I just didn't trust that good things could happen. But I saw all of you. I saw, every time I went to a meeting, something I couldn't understand, I couldn't put my arms around. I felt something change. I felt this spiritual awakening is what I would come to realize, even from people walking into the rooms from the time they left. And they did something weird. They not only did they have emotions, but they openly talked about them. And I thought, well, that's really different. And my sponsor gently, another new way approach, guided me through, you know, this process, through the steps. Apparently, beating myself up wasn't the point of the fourth step. And I learned, she gave me new language for my self-talk. So that when I looked in the mirror now, which I try to do regularly, it's a real struggle because my history with the mirror is it's a shaming point. And now I have new language, you know, and I can do those darn affirmations I swore I would never do, because only the old Saturday Night Live character, Stuart Smalley, would do that kind of stupid stuff. But I've come to realize that the people who don't do that are people who got that when they were little. You know, I've seen this actually in life, where they're talk to their child lovingly and tell them, you know, you're smart, you're good, God loves you. So now I have to make up for it, and I have to do that. That's why I, as an adult, I can do that confirming talk. I've learned again the new behavior, and I put the cart in the right place. I am going to wrap up. In so many ways in this program, I had the cart before the horse. I thought, when I get to the right size, then I'll have fun. And, you know, when this happens, then I'll allow myself to do this, that, or the other. But it is an inside job, as folks have described. And I just had to take the action of believing people's compliments when they complimented me on whatever, changing my action and self-talk, changing the inside, and I no longer want to abuse myself anymore. And thanks very much for letting me share.